Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk? You guys know what to do right now. Share the podcast. Share the podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. I promise you, you don't want to keep it to yourself. You want to tell the world because you want to follow this journey and this experience with me because it's amazing, I promise you. And y'all know what to do. Wash your damn hands. Stay in the house, shelter in place so that we can get out and play. Hopefully by the end of summer, I would just like to be out in the sun here in California. But those of you on the East Coast, I'm still yet praying for y'all because y'all going to be on lockdown even longer. So thank you guys for following. I appreciate each and every one of you. Let's get right on into this today. I have a special guest with me and I found him on Instagram, on the gram,
y'all. IG know. Famous.
Yes, he's IG famous. And if you want to go follow him on Instagram, his title is The Gay Black Traveler, just as it says. Hopefully y'all know how to spell, but I'll put it in the notes too. So, welcome to the show, Mr. Vincent.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here with you today.
I am so honored to have you here. It is a pleasure. How are things going with you in your world?
You know what? I'm surviving. So that's priority number one. But, you know, I've been adapting pretty well. But, you know, it's been a roller coaster of emotions. In addition to the pandemic, in addition to being gay, we have, you know, another fun thing we get to deal with is racism. And that thing just keeps rearing its ugly head and doing a fucking, excuse me for cursing, but it's doing a freaking pandemic. We have to deal with this too. And it's just like,
Oh no, you're all right. You can cuss. I clicked the explicit button on my podcast because you never know what's going to happen with people. They get into they spill and they running it on home. And yeah. Hey, so I clicked that little button down there. So the kids know at home when they start listening that they may hear something that they're accustomed to anyway.
Well, good. I normally, cursing is part of my daily vernacular, but I try my best to scale it down. I'm trying to be, when I'm talking about point across.
You try to scale it down. So you one of them cussing sailors. Okay, we got you. Mm-hmm. We got you. So tell the people where you're from. Tell them a little bit about you, what you do. And we already know part of that is the Gay Black Traveler. Y'all know that. Listen up, folks.
Well, I am originally from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, born and raised. The first 22 years of my life I spent in that state. I actually graduated from the University of Oklahoma in 2010 with a degree in public affairs and administration and a second degree in African and African American studies. I'm actually African American on my mother's side and Nigerian on my father's side. After I graduated from college in 2010, I joined a corporate America organization, and for about 12 years, I worked for them in various states from Colorado, Tennessee, Texas, Ohio, and actually as well as LA. But in 2018, I kind of realized that I was kind of at this point with my career where I could become great at something that I didn't really care much about, or I could take this big chance and risk and invest in myself and do what I want to do. And so I took this leap. And part of the leap was creating the Gay Black Traveler because I found that through travel, it had accelerated a lot of my personal growth. And it had really helped me see the world in a different perspective because what I found out through travel and what I realized more and more each day is that some of the places I was living in and some of the places I was going to, I won't say that they weren't friendly toward me. I like to say that I wasn't on their palate, so to speak. Whereas LA and Australia or Spain, I just felt like there were things in those areas that just really connected with me and vice versa. And so that traveling really opened my mind up to just how different the world could be and how sometimes where you're born or where you may be assigned or put it may not necessarily be the best thing for your life. And so when I got to LA and figured out this was a place for me, it's like everything just changed.
Aha. Yes, yeah, and that's true. Where you are born is usually not the place. I mean, there's some people who stay there their entire lives. God bless them, God keep them. Mm. When I left, I said, I'm never going back. I'm a city boy now, no more country stuff. So I'm over it. Never, ever. I need to be with a Starbucks on the corner where there's a nice little restaurant, and I need to be within 20 to 30 minutes of Napa. I need to be near the winery.
That's a little bit of liquor ain't hurt nobody.
It never hurt nobody, and it keeps your skin looking amazing. Yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. So, snatched, I believe they say.
Yeah, snatched. Now, if I could just be snatched in the hair department when the barbershop opened, life would be grand again. I'll be all right. But
like I was telling you earlier, I definitely, you got to join the ball club, and then you have to worry about all that.
Ooh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know. Now, I do go close. I wear, my hair is normally a really tight ball fade. So I'm really close. I'm really close there, but my hair grows extremely fast. So it's hard to wear that style, because basically I should be at the barbershop every week. So I'm like, eesh. But yeah. No. So where have you traveled to? Where's your most favorite place that you've traveled to as the gay black traveler?
Oh man, I've been a lot of places. I've been to Europe multiple times, Australia twice, Canada, Mexico. But number one place though is Barcelona. It is by far number one. Between the culture, between just, they have such a great beach environment, very similar to LA. I've been to Madrid and other places, but just the Spanish culture, I just absolutely love. So that's like a number one. And I think a solid, strong number two, and it's kind of a two-way tie, would be like Amsterdam and Australia. And for very different reasons, but those two are like very close seconds.
So isn't Amsterdam like the party town? That's the party city?
Amsterdam, capital of Netherlands, it is more than just a party. I think they invented like hardcore partying. Like some of the things that are just as part of their culture, or just like things you can just go, oh, I'm gonna Google this, and you can go find it any time of the week. You're like, wow, Amsterdam, you guys are super progressive on a lot of different facets of just living life and what it means to be happy as a human. And so between just the legal marijuana, and by the way, the marijuana in Amsterdam, I think the stuff in LA is amazing, and California is great, Colorado, great job, and all the places who have marijuana. But first off, Amsterdam is like decades ahead of us. And walking around, and I knew the whole coffee shop thing about walking around, you can just buy weed in the coffee shop and just smoke and do whatever. But until you experience that, it is such a different, like, understanding of like drugs and what drugs mean to a culture. Because there was times where I would like go to the coffee shop and just like make all these cool, meet all these people and make all these new friends. And then just, it was kind of like, it became like a much more relaxed bar culture, if that makes sense. And so when you have the bar culture next to this coffee shop culture, next to this culture of just like, almost like peace and serenity in the city, it's magic. And I've decided, and unfortunately it won't happen this year, but I want to go to Amsterdam once a year, just like a relaxing, peaceful. And it's interesting, I actually didn't party that much there. I actually would want to go back more for just how peaceful, how beautiful, and just how, I guess, a way to escape the world for a little bit, which I think we all could really use right now.
Yes, I agree. I need an escape. I need one. I need to be somewhere where it's peaceful, it's quiet, it's serene, and I can just sit and look crazy and continue to read my book and be at peace.
Amen to that.
We are in the midst of hell right now. We have a lot going on.
Yes.
It's a lot going on, and like I say, as I pray, because just you know, with the whole Chris Cooper thing, mm-hmm.
It's heavy. I'm actually taking a break from news a little bit. I won't say I'm taking a break. What I do is I typically will pay attention, but then when it gets too heavy, I'm very careful about mental health. Like, say, okay, Vincent, you want to stay informed, but you can do that in other ways. Read a couple articles each day. But right now, I've literally for the last like 2-3 days since that. When I saw that video, I was like, okay, I can't. I knew as soon as I saw the video, I said, all right, you need to take a break from the news for a couple of days, because it's going to be everywhere. So I've been watching HBO Max and just binging TV shows. Like, I'll just check in every now and then. But right now, I need a couple of days to just process and not let it become.
Yeah.
I don't want to become a hatred field. I don't want to get mad. I don't want to lash out. So I'm like, I'm going to take care of Vincent for right now.
And that's how I feel too. So I was like, let me pick up one of these books and pull myself back and take myself to a different place. Because waking up and you're looking on Facebook and people are tagging, did you talk about this on your YouTube channel? Did you talk about this? And I'm like, oh, please don't tag me. I need a break right now. I need a break, because I'm on overdrive when I'm looking at the situation that's going on at the Target, when I woke up to that mm-hmm. this morning, and I was just like, we're missing the whole point. So let me take a break from it and say, let me keep on moving and do what I do. And hey, pray that I can get my sanity out of this.
Absolutely.
So you guys at home, I want y'all to know that as I was scrolling, and I wasn't trolling, for those of you that troll, I was scrolling through, and you know, I'm always looking for great people to bring on the show. And I came across the wonderful profile on Instagram of the Gay Black Traveler, and I got hooked. And as I was scrolling, I saw this wonderful little article, and I said, oh, he's dating. Oh, maybe I should get him for my, I want to do a series. Y'all know I've said this before. I'm working on it now. I'm going to do a series with people who were dating, got married, and are together, and that relationship piece. So I'm working on that. Y'all know I'm still struggling with that one. To get the people, y'all answer your inboxes. Dog it. Inbox. And so I came across Vincent, and he was talking about his relationship, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I kept reading, and I was like, oh, wait. Oh, this is over. Maybe we can have a discussion about relationships. So I said, let me inbox him. And y'all know me. I got the inbox. Hi, how are you? Hope all is well. I would love to have you on my show if you're interested. And then I hit the send button, and then I go in the corner and I pray. And I'd be like, please let them answer. And he answered, y'all. He answered. And what the key thing too about the relationship, because you know all y'all, some of y'all are so scary about the way y'all live y'all life. He was in an
intergenerational
relationship. Yeah. And I want him to tell you guys a little bit about that, because you guys need to see other people's relationships, because it's not enough out there. All we see right now is one type of relationship. And if that's not what you see, you don't see anything else. So you have to be able to see other types so that you can venture out and say, hey, if that worked for him, maybe that can work for me. Let me listen to somebody else who's experienced it. Because I can't teach you everything. I can teach you a few things, just a few, but I can't teach you everything. So tell us about the relationship and how we got to where we are today.
Yeah, and so it's amazing how sometimes like things come full circle. But actually, the part of how the Gay Black Traveler began on Instagram is due to that relationship. And you can actually find out more on thegayblacktraveler.com, actual website too, if you want to learn more about it. But the idea when I started the Gay Black Traveler came from a period of my life after the relationship had ended, where I was kind of trying to find myself a little bit. And it wasn't just pure relationship; it was actually some other things going on in my life as well. But relationship was a big chunk of that. And as I was trying to find myself, I knew that travel was my love for things. And I immediately started traveling. And it was like what really pulled me out of that depression. And so fast forward to that post. So I started to get back to travel with the actual Instagram account back in June. The idea was to document my travels, because at that point I was going to London and Alaska and Australia. So I was like, oh, I should document this stuff. So that was the idea, was to document these things. And as it grew, I started getting followers. I was like noticing there was like certain people, like certain pictures and certain things. And it was just an interesting thing that I was just noticing. Well, as the pandemic hit, traveling kind of just stopped as well, right? So my whole concept of the blog, and it had just launched a website in March, kind of just the playbook went out the window. So I started to rethink, like, okay, what can I still do with this? I don't think I should just get rid of it or just pause it. What can I do with it? And I started thinking back through all the lessons I had learned through travel and how those things had impacted me. And so what I've started to do since about March, April, I've been posting more like past reflection and maybe lessons learned about from travel. And that post in particular was a picture of me and my ex, who happened to be 9 years younger than me. He was 22 at the time. I was 31. He is white. I'm black. His actual his first language was French, second was Hebrew, and third was English. And so there's a bit of a language barrier there, but not much. But we actually met here in LA and had a good relationship at the beginning. And then we had a really big rocky period. And then we kind of just hung on for a little bit. And that post was me, because we've already kind of had our, I don't know, reconciliation or whatever you want to call it or be. But what that post was to do was that I remember when I was in a relationship, one thing that was kind of a thing for me was harder when I moved to LA with my job. And the reason why I was kind of, LA was kind of directed to where I was coming from Ohio, was because I wanted to be in a city where I felt like I had the best opportunity to date and the best opportunity to possibly fall in love. And that just wasn't going to happen in Cincinnati or Memphis, wherever the place I lived. So when I got here, and by the way, if you guys can't tell, I'm a very critical thinker and I always think about a lot of things. I said to myself, okay, Vincent, now you're in a city where you can date. You've had a couple boyfriends, but they all didn't really last too long and blah, 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 whatever. How about you hire a matchmaker? So when I got here, I actually hired a matchmaker, spent a couple thousand dollars on them because in my mindset, it was, I should, since I missed out on, a lot of gay people have this experience too, you don't get the first kiss, you don't get the first date, you don't get those things as a teenager, so you miss out on a lot of like those small relationship things and tools that you just miss. And so you try to figure those out as an adult and you make a lot of decisions. So I just wanted to have a matchmaker say, is my online dating profile make sense? After going on a date, here's what happened. What did I do wrong? It was just, I needed that second opinion. And that was actually what kind of fueled my personal growth when it comes to relationship, because it was this second opinion on things. And so I had such a desired relationship, which is the point I was trying to make, I had such a desire. I hired a matchmaker, was like so focused on falling in love because that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. That's what I need to fulfill me. My career was great. My friends were fantastic, but I was single. So something was wrong with me. So I wanted to fulfill that. Then I found this guy who was gorgeous. He treated me. He was in love with me. I was in love with him. And then there was a lot of red flags I ignored because it was this perfect visual relationship. Yeah. And after we broke up, I realized part of the reason why we stayed together for so long was because I did not want to lose that appearance of being in a relationship. I did not want to go back to being single again. And so that post was a reminder of, just because something looks good, something may feel good, if you're not fulfilled, if you're not satisfied, if you're not happy, all things that glitter are not gold. And I know people can look at our relationship, and even at people who hung out with us, you could see that there was something clearly there. We were clearly like just a magical relationship, but there was a lot of things you didn't see and a lot of things that just you wouldn't know. And to me, it was just important to share with people to say, hey, look how beautiful we look. Look, because that picture caught your eye for a reason. All the pictures in that thing caught your eye. We knew how we looked as a couple. And I wanted people to know that, look how good this looks. It was some shit that went down that y'all know about. Take care of yourself. Love yourself. Relationships is not what's going to complete you. You have to love yourself first.
Yes. You have to love yourself first. And so, I want to jump back because I like that piece. You said you went to a matchmaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've toyed with that in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I toyed with it, but when it come to that cost, I was like, ooh, do I really want to be in a relationship that bad that I'm going to pay? Mm-hmm. So, because I'm content being by myself. I'm happy. I'm wonderful with this thing. But if I pay, I may just meet somebody that may be the right one. But Lord, the money. So when... had you already been thinking about a matchmaker before you moved to LA? Was it something that was already on the plate? And how did that process go down for you? Did you know, got a referral from someone, or was it someone you had seen advertising before? Or did you do what, matchmaker, what is a match? Lord have mercy, I'm not my
mind. Match.com or something.
Match.com, that's it.
You know? So, I don't remember exactly how I found this particular matchmaker, but throughout my life, I've always been kind of a student of ask for help. If you don't know what's going on, read a book. You know, I'm not afraid to go to therapy. I went to therapy 3.5 years prior to moving to LA. And so I've never been afraid to ask for help or seek it out. And because I can be somewhat, almost like a manic a little bit. When I want something, I can get like I can get really aggressive about wanting it. I'll think of 1,000 things and how do I accomplish that thing. And so as I was going through that with this one of your relationship and thinking back what's been failing and blah, 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 it was like, I guess a matchmaker does make sense because the description I would find about what matchmaker did really lined up to what I felt I was lacking. Now, looking back, I don't ever want to look back and say I would change something. But what I'll say is, knowing what I know now, I think a better investment would be in a life coach than in a matchmaker. Not in any, and this is for Vincent and not for anybody else out there, but for me, in going through everything I went through with the matchmaker, which I had an absolutely phenomenal matchmaker. I got so lucky with that guy. And then just the relationship I was in, and then a year of travel and looking back, like to me, my issue had more to do with like self-confidence and a lack of understanding what I truly wanted than actually was a matchmaker out. I definitely got a lot of great skills, but that couple $1,000 I paid, I don't think that the money didn't necessarily match with the lessons I learned looking back now. However, I couldn't have arrived at that point had I not went through it first. But I would never advise somebody to get a matchmaker. I would say, get a life coach first and let's start there first.
Ooh, because yeah, you keep saying that couple of thousands.
Yeah, I believe it was about $3,000 if I remember all, because it wasn't like, I think it was like $1,000, like initial, and then I think it was something like a monthly, it wasn't like $3,000, but I remember it was kind of $3,000 when it was all said and done.
So let's give that person a shout out. Do you remember who your matchmaker was? Let's give them a shout out because...
Yeah, so I won't say the name of the company because he's known with that company started. His name is Phil, and I cannot pronounce his last name. It's TJ something, but his name is Phil. He's now on the East Coast. But if anybody's actually interested, I'm still in contact with Phil, so you can always just direct message me on Instagram, and I'll gladly connect you. He still has clients here in LA. He has partners that he works with in different areas, so I think it'd be great. He actually does a lot of stuff with online dating as well, so. When we initially met, which just like a therapist or any type of person you're hiring that's going to be a personal relationship, we had a heart-to-heart at first. I'm a big person that when I get to know somebody on that level, we got to drink a little bit just to really make sure we're cool. Yeah. And so, he looked at my online dating profile, gave me some tips on that. And I think even with this pandemic, there's still a lot of good that you can get from that type of service.
Wow.
And I don't think he charges much either because he started his own business now.
Okay, well, we're going to make sure y'all inbox him at the Gay Black Traveler on Instagram so that you can find out about that if you are interested in meeting a matchmaker and possibly going down that road. And
yeah.
But now I like the part that you said, life coach. Mm-hmm. And so... as you were going through that process, you found out there were some things that you needed to work on. And the more appropriate person for that at that season would have been a life coach to encourage you. Because we all
get
to that place where I don't think I'm good enough for this. I don't think I'm this person. I could probably do this better. I probably have not done that right. And how do I fix this and not take this baggage from the last mess into this one and not hold them accountable for all of the actions that David did over here. And now I'm with Michael, and Michael ain't never met David, but I'm still holding Michael accountable and I can't let go. So that's a good thing, right, Coach? I'm in love with that.
And I will gladly shout out my life coach. Her name is Nikki Boyer. I am absolutely blessed to have her as a life coach. She is absolutely fantastic. Nikki Boyer. She's fantastic.
Okay. Now y'all got another life coach. Y'all got it there. Cause I can't coach you. I can coach myself. Yeah. I can encourage myself. I know how to encourage myself. Just open a bottle of wine and I'm good to go.
Right on.
So the matchmaker got you to the point. You meet this guy. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that process.
Yeah, so I meet this guy. And the matchmaker at that point wasn't involved as much anymore because, I had him for about 6 months and I feel like I had gotten everything I needed from him. But when I met this guy, okay, actually, let me be really honest with you for a second. We actually met on Jacked. which for those who don't know, it's actually a more multicultural version of Grindr. So Jack is actually where we met. So we're actually only supposed to be like a one-hit situation, one-night stand scenario. Went over his house, had the one-night stand, and then we kind of just stayed in touch. And then he came over to my house, and then we kind of like started like just hanging out more and more. And then just kind of slowly kind of grew from that. So yeah, those one-night stands that we talk about sometimes, they actually can go into more. And it wasn't like we were talking and then it was like, hey, there's a possibility. It was like, nah, we just kind of like each other in the sense of like physicalness and change a couple things. But yeah, so it started there. But I don't want to say that in discredit of a matchmaker, but the matchmaker was helpful because he's what helped me ensure my profile was attracting the kind of people I wanted. He's the one that helped me understand the best way to communicate for the things I want on the thing. He's the one who helped me understand that when I do get in a situation where I'm with someone, here's some of the things you communicate or talk about. So although he wasn't the person connecting me directly with this person, there were so many fundamental skills that I got from having a matchmaker.
He laid the foundation.
Yes, absolutely.
So you met on Jacked.
Mm-hmm.
What was supposed to be a one night, turned into, let's see each other again. Let's see how this goes. Oh, well, come hang out. Let's go. And then this turns into a how long relationship?
We're together for almost 9 months. We almost had that child. Almost had it.
Almost had that child.
Rosemary's baby.
Right there. And so you took the stuff that you learned from the matchmaker. The foundation is now laid. You are start dating. Tell us about the beginning of the dating. We went into this every day, puppy dog eyes. We in love everywhere we go. We walking around. Just goo goo gaga.
Yeah. So kind of going back to my comment about a life coach would have been better knowing what I know now. My issue at the time was I was, and to a degree, I still am a people pleaser. And again, I was just so much wanting to be in a relationship that I would overlook some of the yellow flags and kind of, and I am still much of a romantic. I am a believer in love at first sight. I believe in soulmates. I believe you can have more than one, which you get into that topic later. But I am like romantic. And so, man, I'm telling myself, but part of when I met the guy that was in my relationship, I was actually technically in a 1 month relationship with a guy in the UK who I met in Australia, which I know this sounds crazy, but stay with me. I know. I was on a gay cruise in Australia, met this dude. We like had like this whirlwind, like two week long romance on this cruise. I got to Sydney every day for like 4 or 5 days. He went back to the UK. I went back to LA. We decided to be in a relationship. He came to visit the UK. Obviously, for that far away, we knew we were an open relationship. But I actually met Avi toward the end of that relationship. So interesting. So I met Avi, I think, like about 3 weeks before we broke up. So I met Avi, had the one-night stand. And the week that the guy from UK visited me, we ended up breaking up that week because we recognized that it wasn't going to work out. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff there. But so I had went from being in this, like, long-distance relationship to kind of like meeting this guy who I kind of liked, but again, one night stand, and we're kind of like on this friend path. I become single again, and then we kind of just slowly transition into dating ourselves. So it was almost like that classic case of like like a serial dater type scenario. I was kind of falling to that pattern of I couldn't be alone. So again, when I talk about life coaching, it was Vincent wasn't doing a good job of like pausing and saying, Vincent, why are you in a relationship? Vincent, are you sure this is what you want? It was just like, oh my God, someone else likes me. Oh my God, someone loves me. Oh my God, someone's going to be there for me. And it was more about the ideal of being in a relationship than it was what I was actually getting from a relationship and what I needed from it. And so I guess starting off with relationship, it was, you know, the honeymoon phase of I feel something. Because again, with this particular guy, I had never felt something like this before. It was such a deep, like, connection on just so many levels, both on interest, but also on just like a passionate and a kind of a vulnerability connection. In May, he had to go back to Israel to visit his family for a reason. And then he came back. After he came back from that trip, it was such a clear transition of we're like friends kind of dating to like, okay, we're definitely in a relationship and we're definitely serious. And I feel like that was actually about this time a year ago, about this time 2 years ago, because my birthday is on Tuesday, June 2nd. And we actually started a relationship right before my birthday that year. So yeah, it was about this time where we were like, all right, we're official. And then I feel like once we made it official, that's when some of the yellow flags I was ignoring started to kind of rear their heads. I remember our first argument was kind of, it was, honestly, I don't even remember what it was over, but I remember the point of it was, we shouldn't be arguing about this because it's stupid. And I remember just letting it go. And then between him going to film school and me working like a ton of hours, we didn't have a lot of like time to spend heavily together. And so I came up with this like idea of, how about we do this like 5-day carnival cruise out of Long Beach to, you know, in Cicada, whatever it is, a little quick little 5-day cruise. And then and so that way we can have 5 days complete together. And that way we can like just really, you know, spend some quality time together. And that, I think, was a point where I knew that we were not going to ever be together. And that was in July, and we didn't break up until December. So it's one of those things where I knew at that point, I was like, oh shit, like, but the problem, I don't say the problem, but the issue is that when I talk about protect who you follow, who you give your heart to, what was happening at the same time, I was legitimately falling in love with him, and he was legitimately falling in love with me, so I don't want to take away that at all in our relationship. But about the same time I was falling in love with him, I also was getting yellow flags, and I was like, ignore, because love, it's so powerful. And I had in my mind, and I don't know, It comes from movies, TV shows, fairy tales. I grew up with my grandmother and my great aunt. Didn't have a mother and father present growing up, so I didn't have a very healthy set of relationships to look at. And so I thought, you know, all these romantic movies about, you know, you fight for the person you love, you hang in there, you never give up, all that, you know, I do not recommend this to anybody to ever do when you're dating somebody, but we made like commitments early on about like, hey, we'll never leave each other, and that we were going to be, we did a lot of like 18, 19 year old dumb tomfoolery, which again, I go back to, as gay people, we miss out on a lot of that dumb stuff. Cause we were doing like 15, 16, 17 year old, like, oh, I'm in love with you. You know, circle check here. Do you like me? Yes, no, maybe type. We were just doing that stuff like that. And it was all cute and fun. But when it came down to like real relationship stuff, he just wasn't, I'm not gonna put it on him. When it comes out to real relationship stuff, we both weren't mature enough to really handle being together in a relationship. And unfortunately, because of it, to me, that relationship is a great example in my life of meeting the right person at the wrong time. Because we have that history, there's just no way we can ever, at least in my mind, could ever be together again. But had we met maybe at this point in my life, or maybe 3 or 4 years in the future, I could see it being something crazy good. Because even to this day, I was actually reading some of the, we used to write love letters to each other, email each other all the time, love letters. I was reading some of those just to remember like what I was thinking and all that stuff. And even the fact we used to write love letters to each other was like, God damn it. Like, we were such soulmates and such like, we had such a powerful connection, but we both had baggage and both had demons and both had stuff in the closet that we weren't like dealing with, that just was just a recipe for disaster.
So, what was the first flag that you saw? What was the first red flag you said that something is not working here, and but I'm overlooking it. So what was the first one?
So I'm a stage 5 clinger, and not stage five clinger in the sense of like I have to be under somebody all the time, but I actually like that. I like when somebody's like a leech to me. And I'm like kind of person that if like me and my best friend, me and say somebody are talking, that it's nothing personal, private, whatever, it doesn't really matter, but we're talking, I would totally like have my like boyfriend under my arm, just sitting there watching TV and just not paying attention, but just him being there, I would love it. Like, I love stuff like that. And so the first flag was that he was like an extreme person like that. Like, he latched onto me so hard, so fast. And honestly, not my place to say that, but I'm trying to be respectful of the relationship and him as a person still, even though, I love that he attached himself to me. I love that he had that I want you, I want to be with you vibe. And to me, that was such a yellow flag in the sense of, I didn't realize that what his issue was is that he didn't have much of a life outside of me. And when he leached onto me and found like I had this really robust, colorful life, it's like, that's the stuff he wanted. And so he even more so neglected his personal life. So I became his whole world, which again, in the beginning, I love, but now looking back, that's extremely problematic. So that to me was the very first yellow flag.
Yes. Now, we all know that he's younger. We all know that he is of a different nationality. So we all know that you date outside of your race because Vincent is a strong, strong African-American male, y'all. Just amazing. He's a man. He's all man, y'all. Y'all will see that. Mm-hmm. We got to look at his pictures. You'll see that he's all man. So.
Wolf.
So how did the process, have you always dated outside of your race? Our race, but not your race, it's our race. We're the same race here. I'm just butterscotch, y'all. I'm just butterscotch.
And this goes to my, this is something I probably don't give my maternal side, my family enough credit for, but race was never an issue in my family with who you dated or who you brought home, with who you're friends with. Like, I've never at a point in my life ever remember a family member saying, what you doing over there with that white person or Latino or whatever it may be. Now, do they say, get your ass home before the sun, the streetlights come on and don't talk about police officers? Absolutely they did. But I will say, I never remember a point in my life where that was an issue. I went to like a predominantly Asian elementary school and then a predominantly white middle school and then a all black high school. So again, even just like recognizing like kind of my upbringing, I never really, I almost said it, not gonna say the term. I just never had race be an issue for me. But like my first boyfriend was black. Actually, my first three boyfriends were black. And the boyfriend before this last one was black as well. So I've had a colorful rainbow of relationships. But yeah, I think, I know why I tend to, at least at this point in my life, tend to date more non-black men. It comes from just an availability to a degree. And I mean that in the sense of this percentage wise, how many people are, and then the fact that I travel a lot. And so I jokingly say this all the time, I'm probably gonna most likely, if I do get married, it probably be to someone internationally, whether they're black or white, doesn't really matter. But I just tend to find that people who are international tend, not always, to have a much more closer worldview that I share than people that I typically find in America. Does that mean people in America don't have that? No. What it means is that when I do travel, I just happen to see how I gravitate more toward people with a more worldly view of things.
Hmm. Okay. And so now the age gap, mm-hmm. How did that work? Because most people, age is a touchy subject for people, as is the race thing.
Yeah. So
how did that work when you're like, Have you always been cool with dating younger? Are you attracted to younger? Are you attracted to older? Or is it just, or just happened?
I'm a equal opportunist homosexual, and so I get to say that probably in the last like maybe 2 years is because I did have some biases towards certain maybe body types or age ranges, all that. But in this last couple of years, I've realized how dumb that is, and have had experiences where it's allowed me to understand that there is no one size fits all. And so, I don't necessarily have a preference, but I'd say that I'm attracted to that sounds really cliche, but I was gonna say attracted to inner beauty. What I'm typically attracted to is I'm attracted to people who are not, they don't fall for like, they see past like day-to-day life stuff. Like they don't see the world as what's being presented to them. They understand counterculture. They understand that, you know, they understand that whiteness is not a real thing. So you have to have like some level of ability to see the world for what it really is versus what the world tries to present and tell us what it is. And so I'm typically attracted to those individuals who are just willing to like be open-minded and just think like more critically about the world. And so that's what I'm attracted to, and he had that. And again, we had a ton of interest. But our issue when it comes to age, which it was an age thing, was maturity. And it wasn't maturity in like the classic sense of like I liked, I don't know, boys to men, he likes Offset or something. I mean, something like old versus young. It was never that. It's actually the simple, because it was issue more of the fact that I had at that point been to like 20 countries, had been on like 4 or 5 cruises, had, you know, done all these like really big life events that a lot of people would love to have done. I had done so many. And the problem was that he felt like, since I had already experienced those things, that what was he going to ever experience with me? Because he didn't want to go, like, and this is also another yellow flag because it sounds stupid in reality, but he didn't want to go to, like, say, like, Spain because I'd already been there before. And I'm like, but that doesn't change the fact that it's Spain, you know? So it was things like that kind of maturity thing where he couldn't get out of his way that since I had already experienced so much and had already been so successful in life, he felt like he never measured up. He felt like he always was like second fiddle, which again, if you put yourself in that mindset, yeah, but he also brought so many other things to the table, which is something I always would remind him, like, yo, you bring A, B, C, D, E, F, G to this relationship. Like, just because I have these other things doesn't mean that, you know, you're not valuable in a relationship. And so I think that was, you know, one of the things that really was a sign of immaturity.
And so, okay, I get that. I understand that because, you know, we get in our own minds and we get in our own way a lot of times. We're the reason why, a lot of times we're the reason why stuff don't work out because we in the way.
Yeah.
Because, Lord have mercy. Back, I did some stuff. And yeah, I did some stuff. And because when you say soulmate, I know that well. I left my soulmate and moved back to California.
Oh, wow.
Chasing a job instead of staying with the soulmate who I'd be in a different place than I am now, right now. So, you know, I understand that one very well. And they grumble every time they see me. They barely speak to me at this point. And so, yeah, I understand. But so with the climate that we're in, and I know living in LA, coming from, you know, when you were places like Ohio and places like that, how is it dating interracial when, you know, most black people are like, oh no, you don't bring this home. And I know that your family was all right with it. How, like, perfect, I mean, it's a good, I guess the best example of where we are right now with the current situations that are going on. How does that, do you have discussions with the person that this is stuff that you need to understand, that this is a no deal, and I'm, because there's so many things that can happen, and not intentionally, they could just happen, or, and it could be their association with somebody else who they've always been friends, but then when something goes wrong or something happens, it just totally turns, and it puts you in a situation as a black man to, you know, be in a bad space.
Yeah. So
how do you navigate through that?
Yeah, so I'm going to use travel to answer that question, actually. How I first went to Europe was because I had subscribed to Gay Time Magazine, GT, which is a gay magazine published in the UK. And I remember reading this magazine and just being so fascinated with just how different the cultures, not just gay culture, but just the British culture versus American culture was when it comes to affection between men, whether gay or straight, whether it's... perception of what sex and what that means in culture, whether you're gay or straight. You know, in America, we have this whole, you know, virginity thing and keeping it in thing, whereas in the UK, people are a little more free and open. It was me traveling the world and then meeting non-black people and hearing them talk about race or hearing them have opinions about it. And then what I realized is that I have been giving people in America a pass more than I should. And so even with that last relationship, I had somewhat given him a pass on certain topics when it comes to race, because I felt like, you know, hey, you know, this is something that I can help him work through, explain, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't nothing detrimental, but there were some, you know, things that he didn't realize he was doing that was problem. Like, and so I'd say, kind of thinking about just the fact that I have so many experience with people who just get it, who are white. And then seeing what's happening in America, I think this is almost like not a perfect time to date interracially, but I think it's a great time because you have so many clear examples of why race matters. Because I remember having an argument with him, with my ex back in 2018 about race. And although there was a lot of examples then, it wasn't as in your face as it is now, or unavoidable as it is now because everyone's at home. And so for me, this is like one of those times where, like, dating someone who's not black, it's like, I just want to hear your opinion on outside. Tell me your opinion about outside. Yeah. How do you think I feel? And it's just like, based on their thoughts on it, opinions on it, I've got to a point now where I don't feel I need the energy to teach somebody that racism is wrong or teach them about what they're doing wrong, unless it's at a level where they are already doing the work, they're trying, they're asking the right question, they're doing it, then I'll do it. But if you're gonna like use the term black and black crime, then that's like, well, I don't have the time of day to even entertain right. that. So to me, right. it's more like right now is such a great time of, and to answer your question, yes, I do bring it up now. People I date, I ask very, very direct questions about race, gender understanding, transgender understanding, because there's a lot of gay people who have some really horrible thoughts about transgender people. And so for me, it's just one of those things where I don't necessarily have a checklist that I go through with people, but it's like those are topics that I purposely bring up early on if I feel like it's somebody I'm interested in, because those are just some deal breakers for me that I just can no longer accept from any race, black or white, because black people can do say some dumb stuff about other marginalized groups too. And I'm like, no, bro, that don't work.
They say a lot of dumb stuff. Oof. And sometimes they say more dumb stuff than other races. They really do. That'll make me pull my hair out. That will make me pull my hair out. And I think because so much time we don't ask questions. And I hate to do it. I hate to do it, but I have to use as the perfect example of a relationship that should not have never been. And I hate to drag him through the mud, but he put himself out there. There's a guy in Los Angeles named Malcolm MJ Harris. Mm-hmm. And you are a social media icon. You do everything on social media. You got into a relationship with a young man via and everything was done. You filmed everything. He has 1 million followers. Mm-hmm. And you played this relationship out, and this man was living with you, and y'all were walking down the street one day. Now, mind you me, I said he was living with him. And then mm-hmm. you're walking down the street, and the guy says, I don't think I can just really ever be in a monogamous relationship. And this caused you to break up. This caused you to be on social media crying and having this whole breakdown. Mm-hmm. The guy that moved out. I mean, it's been in the chat groups and the discussion groups. It is like the hot topic. And it's because we don't ask questions. And because we don't have somebody to look at how a relationship should be. We don't have people coaching us. That's why I like the fact that you said you went to a matchmaker, but then a life coach would have been a better person. And people need to hear from people during the startup process, because where we are with him right now, it's a horrible situation. And I mean, it's just bad. And I just feel like you made the same gender loving community look just extremely bad by putting this out there that you didn't even know that this boy wasn't into monogamous relation, but you'd have moved him into your house. And mm-hmm. I'm like, no, we don't do that. So I'm like, that's why I say I want people who have been in relationships that can tell. And so other young men who are trying to figure out how relationships work, they hear it from somebody else.
Yeah.
This is bad right now. It's bad. Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. And I kind of want to touch, because you brought up something and it's kind of near it too, but gaslighting. And I bring up gaslighting because to me, it is something that is becoming a bigger problem or just we become more aware of it. But that's actually one of the things that if I had to give anybody a piece of advice about relationship is number one, be mindful about gaslighting and you have to know yourself, because gaslighting just won't work if you know yourself and you know who you are, period. And that's something that I struggle with quite a bit, because I still do give people the benefit of the doubt, but I'm also at the same time now where I don't necessarily see relationship as something I want as much as something that would be a benefit if I were to get it. And so often, and I too have been, I'm actually probably king and probably teach classes, and I have friends and friends and friends who could vouch for this as well. I'm like the best when it comes to like to make people feel comfortable. I'm the best at ignoring my own feelings to ensure someone else feels better. I'm the best at like hiding part of my personality so that, you know, everyone gets along well. And that just cannot happen in relationships. And that's why, you know, people, when they find people that they can be themselves, but they like fall in love instantly, because there's this desire for authenticity. Can't say that word right now. There's a desire for that. And look, like, you hear people talk about gaslighting and you know, make people feel like they're going crazy.
Hold on, let me cut in. Tell people what gaslighting is for those who are sitting at home and don't know what it is.
Yeah, gaslighting is simply much the idea that I'm going to act one way and pretend as though I'm not, or I'm going to do one thing and then say I didn't do it. Or, and that's something that happens in a relationship. And it could be something as big as you're saying, hey, person, you didn't come home at 10, like you said, and the person says, yeah, dude, I was here at 9 o'clock. I was just sitting at 9:55, I was in the car. And you know for a fact that you didn't see a car come outside, but you're like, wait, was there a car outside? And you're like, question, because you didn't, they found one little way to make it seem like it could or not be true. And it makes, and they use that to exaggerate things. It can be as big as that, or it can be as small as, you know, I didn't say that in an argument earlier. You know, and you're like, no, yes, you did. You just called me that. You just said that. You're gaslighting me. Don't, and it doesn't work, because then, because when you catch it, you're like, okay, so you're manipulating me now. So now I know you're manipulating me. Get away from me. Because if someone's going to, it to me, it's like one of those things where I personally cannot deal with, if I don't trust you, it just won't work. And it doesn't mean I don't know all your dark secrets and know what you're doing every single day, but there has to be a level of, I know you got my back and you're going to always do the best interest in my mind. I'm doing the best for you. As long as that's there, I'm good. But if you don't have that, that's a problem. And if you start a relationship out as not your authentic self, or not your real self, it's going to be a problem, because two things happen. One, what's done in the dark will always come to light. So your personality, whoever you really are, will come out. And then number two, we all grow and change your relationship. So if you're not even your regular self in a relationship, and then you grow and change, they're going to be like, who the heck is this person? Because I'm confused. I've seen three people in the last 3 days. And so it's just, you got to know yourself. You got to be authentic. And sometimes it's uncomfortable to have conversations about, you know, what's your status. It's uncomfortable having conversations, are you into monogamy or are you polyamorous? It's uncomfortable to talk about, you know, are you on PrEP? Those are uncomfortable conversations. I get it. But you got to have them if you want to have a relationship.
But, okay, so let me say this. Why are they really uncomfortable conversations? I want to know when I'm dating you and I'm getting to know you, are you into being monogamous? What, that should not be a difficult question to be like, are you able to be committed to just me? Or do you, now the old me would have been like, oh, well, if you can't be monogamous, I'm cool, peace out, you know, do you. But now, as I say, I did a series on polyamorous relationships. So now I'm a little bit different. I can see a little bit different. I see it a little different now. But why are those hard questions to ask when those are just simple questions? It's either yes, no, or ain't no maybe. No, I don't think I can be in a monogamous. Yeah, I'm using PrEP. No, I'm not using PrEP. I've cheated before. No, I didn't cheat before. I don't want
which should never be a question when you're dating somebody. Never it should come up, because what they've done in the past has nothing to do with what they do with you in the future, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, no, I don't want kids. Yeah, I want kids. Maybe down the line I want kids, but right now I want to date and let's get to know each other. So why are those hard conversations to have? Why do we make them hard?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. I think the first one was just how society has structured things, that we're supposed to be ashamed of certain things, and so that's how we just have been programmed. I think second is just low self-confidence. And I think the third, which I think is the biggest one, I don't know, society might be the biggest one, but the one that's biggest to me is the fact that no one wants to look like an idiot. No one wants to put themselves out there. No one looks like a fool. Everybody wants to look like this great, confident, powerful, strong human being, and without any faults or any flaws. And so I think, because we all have our faults and flaws, when we begin to have those conversations, it becomes, okay, if I ask this person this, then I have to admit this. If I tit for tat, and so it becomes this game of, and I remember being, I've learned this in the business world, I've learned some straight friends, I've learned some gay friends about, like, you know, be careful how much you tell people about yourselves, or don't tell everybody your secrets. And I used to believe that crap. And yeah, some of the secrets I told people and it got out, and it hurt me. But then I realized, why did it hurt me? Because I'm embarrassed. Oh, wait, embarrassment is a construct of my own mind. So if I don't let myself get embarrassed, people can't hurt me. So why am I embarrassed? And so as I, life coach, therapy, how I got to these points, by the way, and reading books, again, how I got to these points. But it's one of those things where once I let go of that, and don't get me wrong, I'm still not perfect at self-confidence. I'm not perfect at all those things. I don't want to make it sound like that way. But what it is that I have such a I guess I get tired of just playing games, tired of bullshitting the thing. I just get to the point where as I date somebody, I'm actually talking to a guy right now. I talk to somebody, I make it very clear, like, here's what I like, here's what I don't like. And I'm not cold or callous. I'm not saying it like that. I sugarcoat things all the time, and I say things with tact, obviously. But, like, he knows how I feel. He knows what I like. He knows what I don't like. And I ask him all the time, hey, am I, you know, I try to check in, too. Like, am I being, you know, too aggressive today? Or if I feel like, and I'm also, like, very sensitive. I'm not sensitive. Well, I am very sensitive, but I'm also very empathic. And so I'm always, like, paying attention to how people feel. And so I'm not always right on how I feel, but if I feel like somebody's off or did I do something that was wrong or something that misconstrued, I have no problem asking that I was wrong. And even bigger, I have no problem saying I was wrong and apologizing and not saying I apologize if I offended you. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. You know what? I should have called before I came home. Now I understand your point of view and think about it from your viewpoint. You're absolutely right. That was very considerate of me. I can tell you why, but I don't want that to be the case. I recognize that you were nervous and scared for me, and that's my fault, and I apologize. I'm going to do better. That's how you apologize, right? And I'm not afraid to do that about anything. If I make a dumb Facebook post that's inaccurate, tell me. If I make a, I don't know, let me know. Because I'd rather be told that I did something wrong than to keep doing something wrong. And when here's that maybe grad school level of therapy and life coaches, you can tell me I'm doing something wrong. But if I decided that I want to do something wrong or I know it's something wrong and I still decide to do it, I also am allowed to make that choice too. Because I have had that debate with you before. I don't need your agreement for what I do. And I understand your point. And if I don't agree, I don't have to agree. But, I'm sorry if I'm messing with people's head with this one, but there is still like basic human decency, social understanding, there are all those rules, but you also have to be confident in who you are and stand strong. And I think that is like what people are attracted to and what people want. And I think that's what's lacking in the world. Inauthenticity, I mean, say it in syllables, inauthenticity, and they want to be around that confidence, that belief that they know that someone's in the driver's seat, that someone's in control.
Baby, you guys have gotten some nuggets today. He has given you some tips, some tools. I'm telling y'all, I'm sitting here like, yes, 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 yes.
Thank you.
Guys, I say it all the time. And as of what we all know, I'm a little bit older than him, just a tad bit older than him, just a tad bit older.
It's a fortnight or two.
So, and many people know that I raised several boys in my home. So, wow. Several boys who their parents, because they were gay, put them out. Mm-hmm. And my house, at one point, I think I had almost 10 boys living with me. So, oh, wow. I always stayed in their ear about everything, trying to make sure that they knew the right path to be on. Don't sleep with this person. Don't just give yourself to that person because they say you're cute. Don't get caught up in that. Don't let your self-esteem have you in some issues that you don't need to be in. Go to school, get a job, focus on you. Date the right person. So, you know, I did that. But then I see there's now a generation of boys who are just still so lost. Mm-hmm. And I'm from the era of Pose. I lived Pose. Mm. Pose was my life. We had the houses and we had all that. My baby brother ran a house out of my house. Mm. So we had all of that. And I was the big gay father. I was the gay uncle. I was the gay grandpa. I was the one who was teaching them because they always saw me had a job. I went to work. I made sure that everything was in the house for them to be structured. But now we have these kids, they don't know and they don't see anybody. And I'm like, why is the next generation above them not stepping up to help them? Mm-hmm. Why is there not, you know, programs? And they're coming along because, I mean, we have like the Ahmad Institute, which is coming to the Bay Area and is down there in Southern California with you. And to teach people about PrEP, to teach people that HIV is not a death sentence anymore. Mm-hmm. But we don't hear that. We don't hear the stuff, oh, let me help you get your credit together. Let me do all of this. We only hear, yeah, you sleeping with this one. Oh, I'm going to meet you at this sex party. But there's still so much more to life.
Yeah.
And we need to hear all sides of it. And that's why I say, I think you just are just an amazing person to help that, because you've given some amazing nuggets today. I'm telling you, I got some good sound bites from you. Got some good, woo. I got some amazing sound bites from you. So there's a person that's sitting at home listening right now. What do you want to tell them that will inspire them about not being afraid to be in a relationship, and what steps should they just start to do?
Man, I love yourself first. I really think you have to start there. I think you need to fall in love with yourself. Take yourself out on a date. Buy yourself something nice. Like, literally, and I'm not joking. Like, these are actual things I'm telling you to do. Buy yourself something nice just because. Take yourself out on a nice date just because. You know, spoil yourself with something just because. Like, literally, treat yourself as if you're trying to wine and dine whatever guy, girl, or other that you may be trying to get. Because once you start loving yourself, number one, it's going to help you become a much more confident and solid person. But then number two, law of attraction, you will then begin attracting the kind of person that you want to be with.
And I always say this too, and I'm hoping Vincent feels the same way, the way I do. Please do not base trying to be in a relationship on the list that he got to be this, he got to be that, he got to be that. Open yourself up. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Because we'll have 10 pages of what he got to do, and he got to meet all these requirements on these 10 pages. And if he missed just one, I'm not going to be bothered with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you guys see, there's nothing wrong with interracial dating. Mm. There's nothing wrong with it. You might miss your soulmate because you let your friends tell you that you can only date a black person, or you let your family tell you that you can only bring home a black person. Mm-hmm. You're the one in the relationship, not your family.
I've dated an Asian person as well. And I bring that up not to like anything like that, but if you have some kind of weird stereotypes in your head about cultures, probably want to let those go too, because they're not all true.
Look, I think living here in California, we see so many different types in each race. Mm-hmm. Because when you look in and you live in some little country town or in a southern state, and you only see people on TV, it's only that same person. It's the same type of stereotype. It's always that Asians are always short. They're always short. That's all you see. But you live here in California, we got 6'6" Asians. We got country fed Asians that are thick. And you'd be like, oh my God, that's a snack. Stop believing what the TV shows you, because it's not always true. I promise you, it's not always true.
Yes.
Mr. Vincent said he is dating somebody else right now. And so not being jaded is a good thing. It's not, don't get mad because something didn't happen with the last person. It just wasn't destined for you to be with that person at that time. And Mr. Vincent said he's also a hopeless romantic. So that means you never give up.
Exactly.
You never give up. And have you been that way since you were a child? You were a hopeless romantic since you were a child?
I'd say I've always had like a romance gene, but I think it's really taken off once I found my own voice and found Vincent in my 20s. I think I really kind of was able to act upon it much more.
Okay. Typical first date for a romantic. You're wooing somebody. Tell the people, how do you woo somebody?
Let's see. Well, man, honestly, the first date for me is it has to be something where there's a lot of ability to communicate. What would I do for a first date? That's a great question. It's been a while since one of those. I'd say something like going for a walk or something scenic. Like, I know there's a bunch of museums and a bunch of like art galleries and stuff like that in LA. I would probably want to go to one of those events. Like, I went to, what's it called? I can see the image. It's that, he draws a bunch of, like, cartoons, gay cartoons, buff men, leather, Tom of Holland. I went to the Tom of Holland house here in LA. I went to Tom of Holland. He's a, it's a famous gay artist. I'm probably doing him so much injustice right now, so I apologize. Anybody listening that knows who Tom Holland and what Tom Holland is, but it's the foundation house is in LA, and they have events like every couple months. And so I went to, and it's a huge like LGBT organization that, I won't say they cater to the more unique styles of LGBT community, but in that house, you probably see a little bit more leather, a little bit more BDSM, a little more trans than you may see in West Hollywood. But it was just this really like not bar setting where it was like a house and there were like hors d'oeuvres and a lot of people there. You go outside, you inside. It's just a really cool way to meet people. And to me, that'd be like a great first date where, because I would want to be able to be in a place where I can talk to somebody, have something visual to then discuss like art or other people we're seeing or doing. But then I also really, really want to see how that person interacts socially. Like I want to see them see me socially and I want to see them socially, because to me, that's, I actually said this to somebody the other day, like part of my attraction to you is how well you can work a crowd. Like that to me is so important because I'm such a big personality. Like I need to know if you can handle that too. And so I think that type of environment would be a great first date for me. Something where there's a big social event, but also ability to have some one-on-one time to really get to know each other as well.
Wow. So I had never heard of Tom Holland and I'm looking him up right now. I've actually never heard of him.
Am I saying Tom Holland? You know what? I think Tom Holland's a freaking actor. I think I'm Tom of Finland. I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. I just realized I'm thinking about Tom Holland and Spider-Man. I meant to say Tom of Finland. My bad.
Tom of Finland.
Yes, my bad. Tom Holland's an actor, a British actor who plays Spider-Man. What is on my mind today? Let's watch a video or
something. Okay, so I've seen these pictures before.
Yeah, you've seen it. Yeah.
I have seen these, and so I never knew that there was a name to it. And I saw it on out.com. There was an article, but I did not read the article, but it came up in my flipboard, and I scrolled past it. Oh, my God. So he's in L.A. See? Learn something new every day. I didn't know that. And I love how you say work a room, because we talked offline about this for y'all that don't know at home, and everybody knows that I do 5 million events. And one of the things when you date me, you have to understand that if I'm at one of my events, I can't sit right there with you and have my guest looking like, okay, what are we here for? Because unfortunately, I have to be the it person of my event because I'm the event planner. I'm the one who did it. And if you go with me, you need to be able to hold your own. And that includes working the room, y'all. You have to work the room. And you need to be secure in the fact that just because I may be in some other man's face, don't think that I want them. The key thing to me is that I'm trying to make sure they're in my next event. So I'm making sure they have a fabulous time at this event. So when the next event comes back, they've already purchased their tickets. Those of you that know, I do have a strong following and my events always do sell out. So I thank all of y'all.
Amen. I thank y'all for that.
So, but,
yeah,
you guys have learned some. You guys have learned a lot today, and I would love to have Vincent come back on the show again because there's so much more that you know we can get into. But y'all know we have already been on here for over an hour.
Wow, went by fast.
It went by fast, and I'm like, I don't want to have him on here. I don't want to take it up with all his time, you know. So that means he has to come back.
Absolutely, I'll love to come back.
He has to come back. So. You guys, if you have questions, you know, you can always inbox me and we'll ask him on the next show. And maybe by the next show, he'll be telling us that the relationship has moved from the dating phase and they're into a full blown on relationship by then. Maybe that's where we'll be when he comes back for the next show.
Amen to that. I like that.
I like that too. So I thank you, sir. I appreciate you for being willing to come on, for being open to talk, and to try to help somebody else along the way. That's what it's all about. Because if we don't speak up and give the younger generation some type of direction, they're going to be lost with no hope for any direction.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you because I've been listening. I listened to the podcast you recommend with of the comedian, and I just kind of listened to your podcast, kind of been kind of tracking you and seeing what you're doing. You're doing a lot of great things too. So I definitely want to give you some roses as well, because I think it's so important, like you said, to get out different perspectives, to get out different voices. And you are doing the work. I've visited your link tree. I've seen your other podcasts. I see you almost 5,000 YouTube followers. I was like, okay, somebody's out here doing something. So I mean, congratulations. I mean, I'm sure you're doing a lot more than I get to see, but I love seeing other Black men doing great things. So if I can help you and support you in any way, I'm definitely here for you.
Thank you. And my YouTube, I still do that. And one of the biggest lessons that I'll tell y'all, and I say this one, I've said it before, but I will say it again. I just hit another 100K on one of my videos.
Congratulations.
It's a bitter congratulations. When YouTube gives you a prescribed way to follow the guidelines, follow the damn guidelines.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Follow the damn guidelines. So this video I did got traction. I maybe did it maybe 9 months ago. All of a sudden, like 3 months or so, it got major traction again. And it just started going and going and going and going. And I'm like, 5,000 here, 5,000 there. I was like, well, what the hell? But the biggest thing where I messed up, if you do a YouTube video, the YouTube video must be you. Mm-hmm. It must be all of you. I put a clip of what I was talking about in the video and merged it together. Mm-hmm. Advertisers was not having it, because it was not me. And I put the actual, it was of a young lady in the car and her boyfriend started shooting at her. I put that in there as I was giving my commentary about it. And YouTube said, hell no. So I did not make a dime off of this video.
Oh no.
So it is still steadily climbing and I did not make a penny off it. So I tell people in this thing, follow the prescribed things that people tell you. Yeah. Lesson well learned and pocketbook well learned, because I could have went out and bought some more wine with that. That would have been a beautiful check. It would have been beautiful check. Imagine. So yeah, I'm learning the way. And I'm glad that you listened to the over there. You went on over there and heard Samson. He was an amazing person. And then you found out about my old podcast with the fella's point of view. Lord help me. Lord help.
On Fridays.
Yes, on Fridays. Oh my God, we're getting ready to drop another show. And I have some guests on there, because one of my main hosts is out on, he had surgery. So maybe maybe I can get you to come on over and host one Thursday night.
Man, I might have to do that. I'll be down to do that. Get to talk with some fellas.
Yes, and they're out there. We're actually looking for a fourth co-host. So my fourth person walked away, so I am in the process of looking for another permanent fourth co-host. And so,
well, if I need to think some other podcasts I've been on, if he's in real tape like this in, let me know.
Yes. So you guys at home, y'all know what to do. You know what to do. Share it. Go to Apple. Rate me a 5. Give me a 5. Stop playing. Y'all know. You know, get on there and comment. Y'all know the only way we survive on this Apple podcast journey is that you guys have to comment. I hate telling people that. I don't, that ain't my thing. Because coming from YouTube, all I'm worried about is that I just say share the video. But as an Apple podcaster, you have to tell people, click 5, because that's the only way you move up in the search engines on the podcast world on Apple. Boring. Okay, you guys have a great week. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank Vincent again. You guys find him at the Gay Black Traveler on Instagram. Follow him, and stay out his damn DMs if you ain't talking nice. And we're out of here.